Economic factors make environmental cleanup costs less bearable to the hard rock mining industry than to the oil industry. The industry as a whole operates at such low profit margins that its average rate of return over the last 25 years hasn't even met the cost of its capital. That is, if a mining company CEO with $1,000 to spare had invested it in 1979, then by the year 2000, the investment would have grown to only $2,220 if invested in steel industry stock, to only $1,530 if invested in metal stocks other than iron and steel, but to $9,320 if invested in an average mutual fund. Even those mediocre profits are unpredictable. Half of all mines that are developed prove unprofitable. The average profits of the whole mining industry are also unpredictable, because metals prices are notoriously volatile and fluctuate to a much greater degree than do oil and coal prices. Hard rock mines create far more wastes, requiring much more expensive cleanup costs than do oil wells. If it weren't for the access roads and the occasional oil spill, oil and gas extraction would have little environmental impact. In contrast, the ratio of waste dirt to metal is typically 400 for a copper mine and 5 million for a gold mine. That's a huge amount of dirt to clean up. Pollution problems are more insidious and much more long-lasting for the mining industry than for the oil industry. Oil spills can generally be cleaned up within a few years or less, and oil degrades naturally. While mine pollution problems also occasionally appear as a quick visible pulse that suddenly kills lots of fish or birds, more often they take the form of a chronic leak of toxic metals and acid that don't degrade naturally, continue to leak for centuries, and leave slowly weakened people rather than a sudden pile of carcasses. Oil is a bulk material that we see. We consider it essential. We don't balk too much at paying higher prices. Hence, the oil industry may have been able to pass on their costs of environmental cleanup to consumers. But metals, other than iron, in the form of steel, are mostly used for invisible little parts inside our cars, phones, and other equipment. If increased environmental costs of copper mining tend to increase the cost of your car, you don't say to yourself, "Sure, I'm willing to pay another dollar per ounce for copper, just as long as I can still buy a car this year." Instead, you shop around for a better deal on a car. The copper middlemen and car manufacturers know how you feel, and they pressure the mining companies into keeping their prices down. That makes it hard for a mining company to pass on its cleanup costs. Both the oil industry and the hard rock mining industry face so-called legacy problems, which mean the burden of costs from a century of environmentally damaging practices before the recent growth of environmental awareness. To pay those costs, as of the year 2001, the total capitalization of the entire mining industry was only $250 billion. But the leading individual companies and other industries, Walmart stores, Microsoft, Pfizer, ExxonMobil, and others, had capitalizations of $250 billion each. Hence, those legacy problems are relatively a much heavier burden on the hard rock mining industry than on the oil industry. Thus, there are many economic reasons why it is more burdensome for mining companies than for oil companies to pay cleanup costs. In the short run, it's cheaper for a mining company just to pay lobbyists to press for weak regulatory laws. That strategy has worked, until recently. Those economic disincentives are exacerbated by the attitudes and corporate culture that have become traditional within the hard rock mining industry. In the history of the U.S., the government promoted mining as a tool to encourage settlement of the West. Hence, the mining industry evolved in the U.S. with an inflated sense of entitlement. Mine executives respond to environmental criticism with homilies on how civilization would be impossible without mining. Civilization as we know it would also be impossible without oil, farm food, or wood. But oil executives, farmers, and loggers, nevertheless, don't cling to that quasi-religious fundamentalism of mine executives. God put those metals there for the benefit of mankind, to be mined. To claims of toxic problems at mines, the mining industry routinely responds with denial. No one in the oil industry today would deny that spilled oil is harmful. But mine executives do deny the harm of spilled metals and acid. The third factor underlying mining industry environmental practices, besides economics and corporate attitudes, is the attitudes of our government and society, which permit the industry to continue with its own attitudes. The basic federal law governing mining in the U.S. is still the General Mining Act passed in 1872. It provides massive subsidies to mining companies, such as $1 billion per year of royalty-free minerals from publicly owned lands, unlimited use of public lands for dumping mine waste in some cases, and other subsidies costing taxpayers $250 million per year. The detailed rules adopted by the federal government in 1980, termed the 3809 rules, did not require mining companies to provide financial assurance of cleanup costs and did not adequately define reclamation and closure. In the year 2000, the outgoing Clinton administration proposed mining regulations that achieved both of those goals, while also eliminating corporate self-guarantees of financial assurance. But in October 2001, a proposal by the incoming Bush administration eliminated almost all of those proposals, except for continuing to require financial assurance, a requirement that would in any case be meaningless without a definition of the reclamation and cleanup costs to be covered by financial assurance. It is rare that our society has effectively held the mining industry responsible for damages. Laws, regulatory policies, and the political will to chase mining scofflaws have been absent. For example, the state of New Mexico estimated reclamation costs for the Chino copper mine of Phelps Dodge Corp. mine of $180 million, but then decreased that estimate to $391 million under political pressure from Phelps Dodge. When our American public and governments demand so little of the mining industry, why should we be surprised that the industry itself volunteers little?